The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Good morning, I'm Claire Kimball.
And I'm Kate Watson. It's Monday the 6th of January. In your Squiz today, Australia's bushfire disaster, the latest and the response, escalating tensions between the US and Iran, the trial against Harvey Weinstein starts this week, and a love story. This is your Squiz today. Welcome back to the Squiz Today podcast in 2020. For many across the country, it's been and continues to be a devastating start to the new year, with Australia's bushfire disaster causing unprecedented damage across particularly New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia. Let's start with, Claire, an overview of the scale of this disaster.
Yeah, the fire disasters happened in some new waves, the most recent since Monday of last week. We're talking about New South Wales South Coast and the Southern Highlands, Victoria's East Gippsland, and then across the border of the Snowy Mountains and the Alpine areas. The loss of homes and infrastructure and animals and farming land is all still really being counted, but it's said to be very extensive. So we can expect to hear some bad news about that in the coming days.
More immediately, what's the latest today? The focus still really on the southeast of the country, south of Sydney, all the way down to the border and into Victoria.
Yeah, even though that latest round on Saturday was said to be one of the worst days, particularly in New South Wales, that the state has seen for fire dangers, it's certainly far from over. There's areas on that south coast and in the Southern Highlands areas that are experiencing really bad threats today and into the coming days, also into that Snowy Mountains and Alpine areas. Though looking at the map and the weather map, it looks like the southern corner of the country, we're talking Victoria and across to South Australia, are in for some really hot weather towards the end of the week. What Scott Morrison and others have said is that this could be going on for months and months, so we're far from through it, that's for sure.
You mentioned South Australia. It's still battling 15 fires, including one that's burned through more than a third of Kangaroo Island. There are fires burning also in Queensland, WA and Tassie. As you know, Claire, I was in my hometown of Bermagui on the New South Wales far south coast over the New Year period and, like so many people, experienced it all firsthand. It really is hard to describe just how harrowing this experience is for these towns. They're dealing with loss of life, fires are still threatening, many are without power, plus of course thousands of people are displaced and unable to return to their homes. Before we get to the government response, I'm sure there are plenty listening who are wondering what they can do to help.
Yeah, there's certainly some organised fundraisers. There's been lots of celebrities get involved in the last sort of week or so. We're talking about Celeste Barber's fundraiser. It's over the $25 million mark, which is just extraordinary given it's just been going for a few days. But in terms of what people can actually do, there's a good link in the email. It's a good place to start. It lays out all of the options. What certainly authorities are saying now is they don't need goods. They'd prefer cash. So that's something to keep in mind.
I think Celeste Barber's fundraiser is nearly at $30 million now, a mammoth effort.
Amazing.
All right, let's have a look at the response now. Of course, political leaders across affected states and territories have been a daily part of updating people on fire activity and the recovery efforts. The federal government has made some announcements also.
Yep, Scott Morrison on the weekend said that the Defence Forces would call up 3,000 reservists, up to that many will be involved in firefighting efforts, but also the recovery effort that caused a bit of a flurry of activity on the weekend, particularly the New South Wales Rural Fire Service Chief Shane Fitzsimmons said that he didn't really appreciate being left out on the loop on that announcement because it's believed there's a number of people who are rural firefighters who are also reservists, and he didn't want them taken off the front lines of fighting fires to be involved in that extra effort. So, yeah, lots of confusion there. Also, Scott Morrison apparently will have a bit more to say today about a fire recovery effort that will be led by the former federal police boss, Andrew Colvin.
Plenty will watch that with interest, of course. Our Defence Force has also been chipping in to evacuate areas like Mallacoota in Victoria. We'll leave it there, Claire. There is other news, big news, in fact, as last week a US airstrike killed Major General Qassem Soleimani. Soleimani was Iran's most powerful military leader. This is quite the move by Donald Trump.
Yeah, it really is. He's also said to be the second most powerful man in Iran behind the Ayatollah. So he is quite a big figure for the United States to target in a drone attack on Friday. Donald Trump, the president, said that he did that because there was escalating tensions, that he was someone who was involved in plotting imminent and sinister attacks on Americans abroad, and it was something that they had to do. Of course, there's been some tit for tat back and forth about what the recriminations of that might be. We'll need to see that play out a bit this week, but certainly world leaders, including our own Scott Morrison, have called for calm.
We have a squeeze shortcut on the relationship between the US and Iran. That'll give good context to those tensions. To Hong Kong, it's now 8 months since the most recent unrest started there.
Incredible, isn't it, that those 8 months have gone and there's still no end in sight to those protests there in Hong Kong, big protests over the New Year period as well that got quite violent. What China has done is it's made a change to its lineup. It says that a guy called Liu Haoying is now going to be the China liaison officer in Hong Kong. He's said to be a big ally of Xi Jinping, the president of China. He has no experience, though, in Hong Kong issues, and apparently he's about the age where top officials of China retire, so he doesn't really sound like someone who's going to break the bank in making a change there, but we'll see, I guess.
What age is that?
Into the mid-60s. They're pretty apparently firm about retirement dates, but he's going around again.
Gotcha. To the trial against Harvey Weinstein, that starts this week in New York, Claire.
Yeah, kicking off Monday, New York time. So this time tomorrow, they'll probably be underway. That trial relates to allegations made by two women from 2006 and from 2013. And it involves rape and assault. He's pleaded already not guilty to those charges, and he denies any criminal allegations across any of those claims that have been levelled at him. It's interesting timing, of course, as the Golden Globes kick off around mid-today our time.
So we can expect a red carpet gallery in the
sure.
Today email tomorrow.
Without a doubt.
There we go. More sad news. Actor Tom Long has died, Claire. People will know him from Sea Change and The Dish. He was 51 years old.
Yeah, very sad story there. He had been fighting a blood cancer, multiple myeloma, since 2012. He'd been given just a couple of years to live at that point, but he really did do everything, it seems, to fight off that cancer, including travelling to the US to take part in a big trial there last year. His wife, Rebecca Fleming, told media yesterday that the treatment had actually worked and that he died from encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain. But yeah, certainly someone whose face you would recognise if you were watching TV in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Definitely. We're finishing off with a love story for the ages. I think we all need a bit of love today. Two parrots from a different species who don't normally mate, Kirby and Susie, have, despite all the odds, fallen in love and produced a new breed of parrot.
It just made me laugh, this one.
Mostly. It's Romeo and Juliet tale.
And the story of them tippy-tapping across the tiles to go and find a quiet corner of the place where they lived is kind of haunting, not in a good way, but apparently they really do have a very strong bond, and it's a fascinating story about how, birds have feelings too. Those parrots are very smart.
There's a lot more to their story if you want to have a deep dive on their relationship. There's a link in the Squiz Today email. I think that brings us to our subject line today, am I right?
Oh, of course it does. I've gone, Kate, you'll like this for the start of the year, June Carter Cash,
yes,
of course.
Perfect.
Good country star. A lyric from her song, Without a Love to Call My Own, it's lovebirds come in pairs, as they do.
As they do. For everything else that has gone down over the past 2 weeks while we've been on the break, we have a link in the Squiz Today where you can squiz the break, catch up on everything that's happened. I'll also pop that link in your episode notes. That's also up on our website. That's all from us today. It's great to be back, isn't it, Claire?
It really is. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year 2020. As I mentioned earlier, there's a link in the Squiz Today email and in your episode notes of where to make a donation to help those many, many communities affected by the bushfires here at the Squiz. We are thinking of everyone, plenty of listeners affected. Stay safe. We'll chat to you tomorrow. The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. Sign up at thesquiz.com.au.